This is Digital Story Podcast number 654, September 25th, 2018. Today's theme is, Are You a Photography Dinosaur? I'm Derek Story. Photography is changing faster than many of its seasoned photographers. And even though this doesn't mean extinction for the ways of the past, it does signal that a certain amount of evolution might be in order. You may think that I'm talking about film. No way! That's pre-dinosaur. I'm referring to the tried and true digital photography workflow that was once the standard. I'll explain more in today's TDS podcast. So I thought we'd have a little fun today. Every now and then, I think we have to kick off our lens caps and just go without a protection filter. You know what I mean? So, you know, this whole notion of photography dinosaur really came about as I've been studying what's going on in the marketplace lately between smartphone photography, between the evolution digital workflow, and how cloud-based is really digging in, and companies like Adobe have successfully managed to go from hard drive-based to really a cloud-based workflow, you know, and all the things that are going on with computational photography and interchangeable lens cameras. And just like everything else related to technology or that has technology as a component, the change seems to be accelerating. Now, another observation that I have is that photographers tend to be slow when it comes to adopting change. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that at all, right? Because really what you want to do is focus on your vision, right? And not get caught up in the, you know, in the everyday grind of, hey, this is new, that's new, here's this, here's that. To some degree, I think that that's a good thing, that we sort of stay the course with what we know works and focus on making great images. However, there's a lot of opportunity with the new tools. There's a lot of things that we can experience and that we can do that we couldn't do before. So there's a little bit of a balancing act here. What I was thinking is, why don't I do this quiz so that all of us, myself included, I took it also, can determine, are we a photography dinosaur? Are we somewhere in the middle? Are we not at all? And so I came up with 8 questions, and I'm going to go through them right now. And those 8 questions are yes or no questions, and then we'll score them at the end. Now, if you're driving, you're not going to be able to write down yes or no. So, and I don't want you to. So, but remember, we have the show notes. So you can go back to the show notes and take the quiz, and you can just listen and enjoy right now. By the way, if you do go to the show notes, then remember the answers are right below the question. So you might want to, you know, scroll so that you don't see the answers as you're taking the quiz. Not that there's anything wrong with this, because yes, we are having fun today. All right, here we go. Yes or no answers. Do you regard smartphones as real tools for meaningful photography? Yes or no? Do you regard smartphones as real tools for meaningful photography? Number 2. Do you manage all of your images on a computer using a hard drive-based digital asset manager, such as Lightroom Classic or Capture One Pro? Right, so do you manage all of your stuff on a computer with a hard drive-based workflow? That's number 2. Number 3. Do you post Instagram shots taken directly from your smartphone? Or are you one of those guys or gals that takes a picture and runs it through your regular digital workflow and then moves it over to your smartphone and then moves it up to Instagram? Okay. So yes or no, do you post Instagram shots taken directly from your smartphone? That was number 3. Number 4, do you even have an Instagram account? Right. So number 4, yes or no, do you even have an Instagram account? Number 5, Do you know what Snapchat is? That's question number 5. Yes or no. Do you know what Snapchat is? Number 6. Is your primary method for sharing images via email attachments? Okay, so that's question number 6. So the main way that you share images with other people, friends, family, that sort of thing, is it via email attachments? Yes or no? Number 7. Do you use a tripod more than twice a year? Yes or no? Do you use a tripod more than twice a year? And then number 8, the final question. Are you a professional photographer or at least a regular freelancer? That's question number 8. And this one will make more sense when we do the rating here. Are you a professional photographer or at least a regular freelancer? Okay, so I'm going to go back through the list now with the answer. And what happens is you will collect dinosaur bones depending on your responses, okay? So for instance, if the answer to number 1, which is do you regard smartphones as real tools for meaningful photography, if you answered no, that's 1 dinosaur bone, okay? So if you answer no to question number 1, you have 1 dinosaur bone. Number 2, do you manage all of your images on a computer using a hard drive-based digital asset manager such as Lightroom or Capture One Pro? If the answer to number 2 is yes, you have collected a 2nd dinosaur bone, okay? So yes means another dinosaur bone. Number 3, if the answer to number 3 is no, you have another dinosaur bone. And number 3 is, do you post Instagram shots taken directly from your smartphone? So if you answer no to that, you have a dinosaur bone right there, okay? So right now you have the potential of having 3 dinosaur bones depending on your answers. Number 4, do you even have an Instagram account? You can probably guess this. If the answer is no, you have a 4th dinosaur bone. Or you collect a dinosaur bone depending on what you have so far in your pile. Number 5, do you know what Snapchat is? If the answer is no, it's another dinosaur bone. Okay, number 5, do you know what Snapchat is? No means a dinosaur bone. Number 6, is your primary method for sharing images via email attachments? And you can guess on this. If your answer is yes, you get a dinosaur bone. All right, so if you're sharing images, and if that's your primary method, is via email attachments, you get another dinosaur bone. Number 7, do you use a tripod more than twice a year? If the answer is yes, dinosaur bone. Right. Okay, so if you're a tripod user more than twice a year, you get a dinosaur bone. And then number 8, are you a professional photographer or at least a regular freelancer? If the answer is yes, minus 3 dinosaur bones. Okay, minus 3 if you're a professional or at least a regular freelancer. And the reason being that if you're a pro or a regular freelancer, then you actually need some of these tools. You probably need a hard drive-based digital asset manager. You probably need a tripod, right? So you're answering those questions and you're picking up dinosaur bones. But if you're a pro, subtract 3 of those dinosaur bones, all right? Okay, I hope this is fun for you, right? And I hope you're not putting yourself in danger right now trying to determine how many dinosaur bones you have. Okay, so let's rate our bone pile here. So if you have 4 or more bones, you are most likely a photography dinosaur. And I'll talk more about what that means in just a minute. 2 to 3 bones means that you are in the evolutionary phase. And if you have 1 bone or 0, it means that either you're 17 years old or you're part of a new breed. Okay. All right. You got that? So 4 more bones, you're a dinosaur. 2 to 3 bones, you're evolutionary. And 1 bone or none means that you're either very young or just very hip. All righty. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, what all this means. You know, so at this point, you're probably expecting me to say something like, well, if you're a photography dinosaur, that the species is doomed because we know what happened to dinosaurs. But I don't really think that at all. And the reason why I don't think that is because, personally, I don't think smartphone and wearable photography will ever completely replace workflow-based work. Just like we still have film around, and we have film cameras, and we have photographers who use film, we will also have traditional hard drive-based workflows around as well, and, you know, well into the future, I'm sure, as long as there's some sort of drive to store them on, and there are some sort of laptops to organize them all. But, you know, what happens to those tools over the next decade or so, you know, really depends on what manufacturers do. And, you know, by that, I mean, you know, the computer companies and the camera companies, you know, are they going to evolve, you know, those tools, those traditional tools, what we're calling dinosaur tools right now? For instance, let's take the interchangeable lens camera. And most of us, or many of us, are using mirrorless versions of that right now. Is that camera going to continue to evolve? I mean, we can't have the introduction of mirrorless viewfinder as the end all to, you know, interchangeable lens photography. That was an interesting innovation, and it was a very nice one, but we can't stop there, because if you look at the rate of evolution for the smartphones that are coming out, and they're coming out every year by every manufacturer, and that there are changes to those smartphones every year, then, you know, regular interchangeable lens photography also has to evolve. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to evolve at the same rate as smartphones, but it does have to continue to evolve. And we want to see innovations in our interchangeable lens cameras. We, you know, we're looking for that, or at least I'm looking for that. So, you know, that's an important area. In terms of our workflow and working on computers, we've seen some evolution going from desktop machines to laptops, and now more to tablets, and that the software for the tablets has become more powerful, and that the real advantage of tablets are this constant connectivity, which means then we can do, you know, mobile-based workflows. You know, so all that kind of stuff has been happening, and it has to continue to evolve. I've been thinking a lot about Adobe, you know, over the last year, and been watching what they've been doing, and how they really bit the bullet in terms of embracing, you know, mobile and cloud computing. And that at first it was very painful for them, and I'm sure it was very expensive. But now, if you look at where they are, not only with Lightroom and its cloud-based components, but just in general, the apps that they have and the tools that they have for using, you know, Adobe software on mobile devices, they've become quite sophisticated at this. And in the long run, I think it's really going to serve them well. I'm sure it's serving them well right now. I mean, their profits have been good, and people generally seem happy. Shareholders and so forth seem happy with what they're doing. Not all their users are happy, but, you know, some of that could be just because they don't like the change. They don't like the change that's being forced upon them. So at any rate, that's a good example, I think, of software evolving. You know, and again, it's evolutionary. It's not totally revolutionary. Adobe software is not in the same category as the smartphone, but is definitely moving along, and therefore I think will stay relevant to a larger portion of the photography community. So if you are indeed a photography dinosaur, I want to emphasize that is a term of endearment, at least in this community right here, because that means that you really love the type of photography that you do, that you love the tools that you're using, and you're just fine. You enjoy what you're doing. You're getting images, you're sharing them or printing them or whatever you're doing. And photography is fulfilling for you, and there is nothing wrong with that. So just to put a close on this, yes, workflow-based digital photography will continue to be around, And it probably will evolve just at a slower pace than what we're seeing in mobile and smartphones and so forth. We'll still have film and cameras around also, and we'll still enjoy a lot of images based on those workflows. So in my photography jungle, dinosaurs can survive. They may no longer rule the planet the way they once did, and by not experimenting with the newer tools and techniques, they might be missing out on some real fun, but they are making images, and at the end of the day, that's all that counts. The portfolio box featured image. Well, if you've been over to our Facebook page, our Digital Story Facebook page, you have seen this wonderful image by Kenneth Cole. Oh, this one is a stunner, and I hope you take a look at it. And I hope you go over to Kenneth Cole's site, because he has a lot of great images there. And the reason why I'm so excited about this project and, you know, this week Kenneth's site is because it shows what you can do with a Portfolio Box Pro site. In other words, when you really sit down and say, look, I'm going to cultivate my favorite images, I'm going to present them as professionally as possible, and then I'm going to have this site, this URL, be the place where I can send people to look at the work that I like the most and the work that I'm most proud of. And I think that's really super exciting. I really do. Because especially in this age, you know, we're just talking about, you know, dinosaurs in the world of photography, but there's a lot of downsides to modern photography. And one of them is that images just become more ephemeral, right? And, you know, we put them up on Instagram, we put them up on Facebook, and they're there for a few moments, they're there for a day, and then they kind of drift off. And yes, we can pull collections together on various social sites, but it's just not the same, and we don't have the control over their appearance. And even if we get it the way that we like, at one point, we don't own the software, we don't own the platform, so then that can be changed on us at a later date. That is completely different than what I'm talking about. When you have a Portfolio Box Pro site, you design the site the way that you like it, and you put the images in there the way that you want, and it stays that way. Unless you're the one that changes it. And I just think that in the social media era, having a place that you really like, the images that are there and the way that they look, and you know it's going to be stable, I think that is a thing that I want to have and that I think a lot of people in our photography community are very interested in. So go over and take a look at our directory, our Portfolio Box Pro directory of people in our community that has set up Portfolio Box Pro sites. The link is in the show notes for the directory. Take a look at some of these sites and see how, you know, Kenneth did it, and then see how other people did it, and look and go, I like that. That's not so much for me, but I really like that. And then design your own Portfolio Box Pro site. Now, you don't have to start out as a pro, but you do want to start out by clicking on the tile that's on every page of the Digital Story. You can still set up a free site by going through the tile, but if you change your mind later on and you want a pro site, and by the way, a pro site regular price is $82.80 a year, $82.80 a year, and if you go through the tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, you get 20% off that. That is really sweet, and that's very affordable. And one of the things that you get when you go to a pro site is you get your own URL. So I have DerekStoryPhotography.com, and that is a Portfolio Box Pro site, and I love having that. I really do. Click on the tile, go over there, take a look at what they have to offer, go to our directory, see what our users, our peers are doing in our community, and create something special for yourself. I think you deserve that. And I think you will really enjoy it. And I think you'll be proud, even if it's just a one-page site. Do it, and I think you'll be very glad that you did. Portfolio Box is sponsoring this podcast this week. And they're great partners to work with. As I said, a tile on all the pages of Digital Story and all the links in the show notes. Focos brings iPhone XS tricks to the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 10. So last week I talked about the iPhone XS, and yes, it is an impressive machine, right? They've improved the sensor, the wide-angle lens is new, and there's a ton of computational photography tricks that it can do, and it's hard not to be envious of some of those tricks. And one that I pointed out that I was really attracted to is the ability to, in post, when you take a portrait, be able to change, you know, how soft or detailed the background is by essentially being able to change the aperture of the image after you've taken the shot. And that's pure computational photography. So that's all great stuff, and it's hard not to be a little envious if you're not ready to upgrade. But as I said in last week's show, I'm not ready to upgrade yet. I'm going to hang on to my iPhone 10. I like it. I do. I like it. And it looks great, and it works great. And I found this app that is really helping me with some of those features that I wanted in the XS that I can use with my 10. And that app is called Focos, and it's Focos, and I have a link to it in the show notes. Now, this is an iOS app, and let me tell you some of the things that it can do. And by the way, before I tell you that, I can tell you that you can get it for free. You can download it for free, or you can do a one-year subscription for $6.99, or you can buy it forever for $10.99. And that's if you want all the pro features, which are all sorts of cool things, such as, you know, Olympus lens, a Leica lens. I mean, there's all sorts of cool things. But if you just use the free version, you can do a lot of the computational photography tricks that the iPhone XS can do. I'm going to give you a list that only has some of its features just to give you an idea. So the first one, again, this is Focos, F-O-C-O-S, and I'm sure maybe they say focus, but I'm not going to say that because it's spelled wrong. F-O-C-O-S. You can take photos with a shallow depth of field without manually painting or masking selections. You can simulate large apertures to create real bokeh effects, normally only possible with DSLR cameras and expensive lenses. You can import existing portrait photos and customize the bokeh effect. Now, this one's really important. So if you have an iPhone 7 Plus, 8 Plus, or an iPhone 10, any camera that has the dual lens, right, and that also has, you know, the portrait mode. If you take a shot with portrait mode with those cameras, and then you open any of those shots in this app, then you can do that same sliding effect with the background by making it more detailed or less detailed that we saw on the Apple presentation. And not only can you customize how hard or soft the background is, if there are lights in the background, you can even customize the shape of the bokeh. You can't. That's just crazy. You know, so they have, you know, various simulated aperture diagrams to generate different bokeh spot effects. This is just really crazy stuff. You can refocus portrait photos that have already been taken with a simple tap. So you can focus somewhere else. If the focus didn't fall exactly where you wanted and you wanted to move it over a bit, you can do that with this app. It has professional options. And again, this is if you do the upgrade to simulate lens characteristics such as creamy, bilinear, swirly, and reflex. This is an app that you can get for free right now. They say it's an essential tool for iPhone 7 Plus, iPhone 8 Plus, and iPhone 10. And obviously you could use it on the XS too, although you probably don't need to, although it seems to do a lot of things that the XS doesn't do. So I'm just really excited about this app. I went ahead, after I played with it for like half an hour, I went ahead and paid the $10.99 to unlock everything forever. And I'm playing now with Olympus lenses and Leica lenses and different lighting effects. This is a very cool app. I have the link to it in the show notes. It's called Focos, F-O-C-O-S. And if you have a little bit of iPhone XS envy, check out this app. I think you'll feel a lot better afterward. Our Inner Circle members continue to turn out and rate the pairs that I'm doing for our New York Fine Art card set. We had a nice tandem of shots this week, and I got some really good feedback. And among those folks, our Inner Circle members giving feedback, we have a new recipient for a set of Fine Art cards, Bim Paras. Bim, B-I-M, Paras, P-A-R-A-S. Bim, guess what? When we finish this project, you are going to get a complete set of signed Fine Art cards. Thank you for being an Inner Circle member, and thank you for helping me choose which of the two shots is going to be included in the final set of cards. So this is the kind of stuff that we're now doing on the Patreon site, on Inner Circle site. I just felt like I had this great group of people there and that I wanted to hang out more with them and interact more with them. And to give you an example, so next month, what we're going to be doing is we're going to have photo critique next month. Yeah. And I've already done the post on the Inner Circle, so I already have some shots coming in. But I'm going to pick a shot, and then I'm going to do a photo critique of it, and then other people can chime in also. And if you have a shot that you've always wanted, you know, an opinion about it, other than, you know, your husband or your wife or your girlfriend or your mom, but maybe another photographer, then photo critique, this exercise that we're going to be doing, is a lot of fun. It's just for you, because you'll have my opinion, and then everyone that's an Inner Circle member is a good photographer too, and they will chime in as well. And then you can get the feedback that you're craving. So we're going to start doing this in October, photo critique. If you're an Inner Circle member already, there are the details. All the details are there on how to submit your photo. And as I said, I'm already getting some in, and we're going to start this in October, which is not that far away, just a few days away. Just a couple other notes here. Remember that we have B&H and Amazon Tiles on the Digital Story. If you're going to make a purchase from one of those two sites, if you would go to the Digital Story first, click on those tiles, the respective tile. They'll take you over to their site, and then once you're there, then you can find the product that you want, order it. You know, big thanks to all of you that do that. And finally, a big hats off to all of our friends at Red River Paper. Talk about people I love working with. These are the guys and gals. Not only do they make fantastic paper, not only do they have a super helpful site, they are constantly looking at what they can offer and what they can bring to the table, so that we can continue to expand our printing experience using their products. And of course, the Polar Luster metallic paper that you know I like so much, because I talked about it, is a perfect example of them coming up with something new and exciting that we can run through our inkjet printers. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. They have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Go over there, see what they're up to, get yourself some Fine Art greeting card stock, get yourself some cool metallic paper, get yourself something fun to print on, and make some prints. Have that art hanging around your studio, your house, your office, so that others can enjoy your work even when they're not on their smartphone, even when they're not on their computer. Red River Paper, fantastic partners of the Digital Story, and of course, our longest running sponsor. All right, well, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you didn't mind the fun departure. We'll get back to business next week. Just every now and then, I just feel like we have to have a little entertainment and a little enjoyment. And by the way, if you're wondering how I came out on the dinosaur test, I came out as not a dinosaur because of my -3 bones for my professional status. However, it was pretty nip and tuck up until that point. All right, more good stuff next week. I hope you come by and join me. Until then, have a great week. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.